The epistle is from the 10th chapter of the letter to the Hebrews. The Holy Spirit also bears witness to us, for after saying, "This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my laws on their hearts and write them on their minds." Then he adds, "I will remember their sins and their lawless deeds no more." Where there is forgiveness of these, there is no longer any offering for sin. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Under the Old Covenant, there was a very clear division between God and man. Although the Lord made himself available to his people in the tabernacle and then in the temple, there were clear limits. Ordinary people could not enter the tabernacle or temple, and no ordinary priest could enter the most holy place. The Lord allowed only the high priest to pass through the curtain to his throne, the Ark of the Covenant. And him only one time in a year, at the set time, having followed the prescribed rites of purification, and with sacrificial blood to atone for his own and for the people's sins. Under the Old Covenant, the Lord made himself available to his people, but with clear limitations, and only as they observe precise procedures. The account of the priests Nadab and Abihu, whom the Lord killed when they offered unauthorized fire before the Lord, underlines this point. The Lord prescribed sacrifices that could be offered to atone for sin, but they were only acceptable when they were offered in accord with his word. He didn't allow for improvisation. And no person, no priest, not even the high priest himself, was free to come into the presence of the Lord in the Holy of Holies at will. But Christ has instituted a new covenant, the covenant of which Jeremiah prophesied, a covenant centered in forgiveness. As the Lord promised, "I will remember their sins and their lawless deeds no more." Jesus, by his incarnation, through his work, amended that division between God and man, opened for us a way to God. Not only is Jesus Emmanuel, God with us, God one of us in human flesh, not only is he God come to us, he also brings us to God. That's the gracious and marvelous truth expressed in our text this evening. Since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened up for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh. And since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from the evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. As the high priest on the Day of Atonement had to wash and then put on special garments before he entered into the Holy of Holies, so also you have been washed with pure water in holy baptism, and have been clothed with Christ. What the author of Hebrews is talking about here is not just some spiritual reality, something which takes place only in our minds and hearts when we imagine it happening. No, it's something that happens in connection with the physical water that was applied to you with God's word. I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. By that worded water, God washed you, purified you, cleansed you from your sin and guilt, and connected you with Christ, clothed you with him. It's a strange picture the New Testament uses to portray what happens. Sometimes we hear it as being clothed with Christ's righteousness, so that the filth and stain of our sin are covered up by his perfect obedience, his gleaming white holiness. And that's not bad as far as it goes. There are certainly scripture passages that support that image. But it doesn't go far enough, because Paul describes baptism as clothing us not just with Christ's righteousness, but with Christ himself. There's an incorporation that St. Paul describes, an involvement with Jesus' very body that comes to us in holy baptism. Through baptism into Christ, you have been clothed with him. Now when the Father looks at you, he sees Jesus, his beloved Son, with whom he is well pleased, because you have been clothed with Christ. As amazing as this truth is, though, there's even more. Not only have you been washed with pure water through holy baptism, you've also been sprinkled clean. To use the words of our text, your heart has been sprinkled clean from an evil conscience. This calls to mind perhaps the Old Testament rite of sprinkling with the water of purification made from the ashes of the red heifer, which God prescribed in Numbers 19. Even more, though, it reminds of Moses' sprinkling of the people with blood of the offerings when the covenant was confirmed at Mount Sinai. Blood was a powerful thing in the sacrificial system of the Old Testament. It was powerful because, as the Lord said, the life of the flesh is in the blood. And also, as we heard in our text, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. Now we hear, your heart has been sprinkled clean from an evil conscience, not just with any blood, but with the precious blood of Christ, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Again, this isn't just a spiritual reality, something that's true if we believe it, but has no objective reality of its own. Oh no, the blood of Jesus, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin as he gives it to us in the cup. He says, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins." His blood is sprinkled on you as his blood of the new covenant flows down your throat. In this drinking, Jesus cleanses your heart from an evil conscience with that powerful, holy, precious blood that he shed with his innocent suffering and death for you and for your salvation. So now, washed with pure water through holy baptism and sprinkled clean with Christ's blood of the New Testament given for you and to you in the supper, you are free and welcome to enter into the holy places through Jesus' flesh, to pass through the curtain in full assurance of faith into the very presence of the holy God. As Paul writes, "There is now no condemnation for you, because you are in Christ Jesus, united with him through holy baptism, cleansed in his blood." That makes it possible for you to come into the Holy of Holies, that is, to come into the very presence of the Lord himself, with confidence, with a true heart, in full assurance of faith. For he who has promised is faithful. Here at his table, in his presence, he gives you a foretaste of the feast to come, as he again provides his true body and blood, given and shed for you, for the forgiveness of your sin. By this precious gift, he strengthens you for love and good works, and encourages and sustains you and all who are gathered in the true faith until he comes again. You have his word on it. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord, to life everlasting. Amen.